Let's turn to Psalm chapter 139. That's probably not something that rings a bell at all. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got that psalm. Psalm 139. This is my last message for who knows how long. And that's cool. But rest assured, this message will not be about me, but will be for you. And I remember 3 years ago, before we embarked on a trip around the world, messages that were preached, and immediately upon our departure, Satan was very active. Someone fell away almost immediately, and there was trouble. So all I can do is preach the scriptures and hope that they'll be lived, remembered, read, and heeded. But this is for you. We're in Psalm 139, but in Ephesians 10, you can read it on your own. The Bible says, and we have authority to do so because the Bible does say, find out what pleases the Lord. Our title today is Find Out. The greatest sadness, I think, in the ministry is that people who have a heart for God one day, who become disciples of Jesus one day, lose their heart, lose their mind, lose their ability to do the Bible, and never, ever, ever let the Scriptures allow them to find out why. You must find out what pleases the Lord, Ephesians 5:10. We are going to find some things out today, or at least get to the point where it's like, look, all right, amen. I can renew my attitude in Christ to say, all right, Bible, tell me what's happening. That's a great place to be. I've been there often and remain there, and we'll see the Scriptures really call us to continue to stay there. It's like, all right, this isn't working, this isn't working. I'm here, there, and everywhere. What's up, Bible? Let me know. And the Bible will let you know. We're starting in Psalm 139. Hold on to your hats. Verse 7. David speaking honestly. Oh, if we could be so honest. Wouldn't it be a ministry that would change dramatically if we could all be so honest? Verse 7 of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? David praying to God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? How do I get away from you, God? How do I be left alone, God? How can I? Please, tell me, God. This is David's prayer. Amen, that he's honest. God, can you instruct me how I can get away from your spirit and flee from your presence and be left alone? You're going to be at least one of these three things. Most likely all three if you stay faithful long enough. You're either going to have felt pressure, feel pressure today, or definitely going to feel it tomorrow or the next day or sometime in the future. You're going to have been discouraged, going to be discouraged now, or going to be discouraged in the future. You're going to taste utter, bitter defeat, past, present, future. Most likely, all three if your eyes are open. All right? The cool thing about that, that's the case. Those are the facts. That's how it is and will be. But are you honest enough to pray like this? Or do you just go on the run and not get this honest? For David, it felt pressure. Look, Paul, 2 Corinthians 1 said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. What? You want pressure? You know, Mario shared with me this week that, you know, the thing that hurts him the most is the incredible pressure he feels when he hangs around with me. But we got to the Scriptures, which is difficult to do when he's running from me hither, hither, and yon, and no longer available for the Bible to be opened. But we address that with our verse. One verse. He was good. He could have had that verse 18 months ago. But it's too busy. On the run. Bye-bye. I'm out of here. Just get honest. Look, God, let me be honest. How do I get away from you? How do I go on the run and have you leave me alone? Where do I go? Where can I flee? Where aren't you, God? You're going to have to be honest, and then you're going to have the heart, hey, you know what? Why don't I find out? Let me get honest with everybody. Let me get honest with God. And then let me open the Bible, and by the grace of God, I can almost guarantee you, you will find out. You'll live Ephesians 5:10, and you will find out what pleases the Lord, and you will find out who you are and where you are, and you will find out what the deal is, and you'll find out what God is trying to teach you, rather than taking a year and a half off, 5 years off, 10 years off, and coming back to the very same point. For I got news for you. Our dear brother Mario is exactly where he was when he left. Just as fragile, just as defeated, just as discouraged, just as tempted. He said, oh, brother, it is deja vu. Exactly like when he came back a year and a half or 2.5 years ago, and it was deja vu from 9 years prior. He's come back a year and a half later, and it's deja vu of 18 months prior. To get to this question. And now it's just time to find out. Look, he's just the example. I've been there. I've been utterly defeated in Christ. Boy, the Bible tells me it shouldn't be like that. What's up, Bible? And the Bible explained it. Wow! But most of us can't get that far. I'm utterly defeated, discouraged, there's too much pressure, I don't like it, and I really don't think the ministry can really understand it, so I'm done. Why don't we just find out what the Bible has to say about it and give it a whirl? What God did for me is he cut, I mean, look, I was surrounded by spiritual bozos. These are people who just didn't know anything. They weren't, like, morally corrupt necessarily. They weren't mean. They just had no clue at all what they were doing. But God let me know that the Bible's going to have to answer your questions, and the shell answer man isn't. I learned early on, Bible, you got to help me find out what the deal is. I have never departed from it since, because it always lets me know what the deal is. Anyway, David being honest, and when we feel like going on the run, it's like, hey, why do you feel like going on the run? Talk to me. Come on. Why do you feel like going on the run? We can find out what the deal is. Verse 8, Psalm 139, verse 8. David, he apparently tried. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. I've tried doing the kingdom. I lived the Bible. I was a disciple. I was preaching. I was teaching. I was baptizing. I was honest about my life. Thought level, honest, open, loving people, converting people, restoring people, living the Bible. And you were there, God. I need a break from you. I quit. Forget it. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Good riddance. I don't care. My heart is hard. I couldn't give a rip. I'll sleep with her, him, and them. And I don't have to tell anybody the fact. I can steal money from mom. I can lie to dad. And you know what? God is still there. Why don't you find out what the deal is? David gave it a whirl. Many of us, Richard's given it a whirl. Doug's given it a whirl. Mario gave it a whirl. I gave it a whirl somewhat, not to that extent, but enough to know what David knew. Hey, in the depths of the desert, God was there. Getting God out of the game, getting God off my back and out of my life was not an option, because God was always and will always be there for the disciple of Jesus. We'll see to what extent in a minute, but the fact is, how do I get away from this guy? There's like one option left. I did the kingdom, and we say, it did not work. Forget it. Then I tried the world again, and it isn't working. That won't work again either. I know that road. The kingdom won't work. The world's not working. Rah! And it's true, Lamentations, isn't it true that God has walled you in so you cannot escape? And the fact remains that you're going to have to humble yourself and listen to this message and say, you know what? Let me find out what's going on. because I cannot get away from God. I cannot do the kingdom. I cannot do the world. And God is walling me in both places. And the fact is, now I'm walled in to the point where I have no choice. The only option left other than suicide is to find out what the deal is. That's an awesome place to be. I've been there. Look, I'm not picking on anybody. I've been in all these places. And I'll tell you, I didn't want to find out. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do and be left alone by God. The only option left is for you to find out what's going on. James chapter 1. All right? My appeal to you is to find out. That's my appeal. Whether you want to do that, not do that, that's your deal. We'll take a look at the first option, the option of finding out. Wow, you know, God has walled me in. I've tried sin and I've tried righteousness. I've tried the world and I've tried the kingdom. I've tried hating my husband and I've tried loving him. None of it works. All right? But I'd like to find out what's going on. I've tried loving people and showing them the Bible, and I've tried sleeping with people. And none of it works. This is for the find out crowd. There's another crowd. We'll get to you in a minute. James 1, verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If you are going to sign up for finding out what the real deal is deep down on in, this is going to have to be your verse. It's just one verse. Will you please just look at the verse, read it, I don't know, every day, twice a day, and say, am I doing this? And if you're having trouble, I'm sure you'll be able to say no, because if you were doing it, you'd be getting answers. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, when you read the Bible, why do you read the Bible? Well, you know, I should read the Bible. So you read the Bible because you should? I don't know. The promise here is for the man who looks intently. You have some intention. You have some reason to be looking. Look, God, I want to know why I remain so lustful. I want to know, God, because I read about Jesus not having these problems. I read about him being built up to something beyond that, and it is not my life. And I'm going to read the Bible, and I want to know, God. I want to know why am I so lustful. Tell me. And I don't want to hear church. I don't want to hear, oh, well, we all struggle, right? That's not what the Bible says. I don't want to hear, oh, well, it's difficult. That's not what the Bible says. I want the Bible to answer my question, why am I so lustful? Come on, Bible. I am looking at you intently with the intent of getting an answer to that question. How is your attitude when you study the Bible? What are you looking for? What are you trying to find out? Anything? Well, usually I don't get a chance to read the Bible. Wow, you're out of James 1:25. Well, usually I just read a little bit before I go to bed just to, you know, get my time in. Wow, you're not James 1:25. No doubt this scripture is not coming true in your life, right? You have got to look intently into the Bible to get answers. And you know what will happen? It says it'll give you freedom. The truth sets you free. It will give you freedom. When you read the Bible, do you come out of reading the Bible free? Woo! Yes! I got it! Amen! It should be that way. It should be that way. And if it is not that way, then I would say, I want to know why it is when I read the Bible, I am still a slave to the same old sin that I was a slave to before I read it. answer me, God. Answer me. The answer probably follows in this very same verse. And continues to do this. You know, John DeQuilla has had an incredible run. Probably the most spectacular run we've seen in ministry history. I wouldn't expect, I'm not going to lay on anyone who comes after him the track record he's laid down. But what's cool is that God is calling John to continue to do what he's been doing, that he may continue to grow and not plateau like most people do. And he's not plateaued at all. Up the mountain, baby. Up the mountain, going, going. And he shows no sign of slowing down, but he will have to continue to do what he's been doing with the humility he's had in order to keep going, or he'll begin to plateau off. And it's kind of like, well, that's kind of where, you know, that's kind of where we level off, brother, you know, right there. I haven't read that really in the scriptures. But, you know, we all shrink back about that point. We just kind of level off there. No, that doesn't have to be the case at all. You look intently in the Bible that gives you freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what you have heard. You know, it's no trouble for me to repeat things to you. It's a safeguard for you. Pat's got me straight. That's in Philippians, right? Paul writes to the Philippians that. And we do remind you of this and that and that. But I try to make it a point not to preach what I have already preached and could reach into my little bag and hand you because of this verse. That I'm really preaching to people who don't forget what they've heard. That I could sit here and say, well, you know, that was 2 months ago. You know, nobody's got a great memory. Everybody forgot. Maybe I need to lay that again. You're going to have to get that from someone else. Because I look for people like John DeQuilla who are like eating it up. More? Yeah, more. More? More. More? More. And I cannot repeat over and over and over and over what I could hand you on CD. It is up to you to remember what you've heard. Up to you to live up to what you've been taught. And it's not up to me to repeat it to make up for the deficit because you don't read the Bible or live this verse. And doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That is a guarantee from the scriptures. See, as I read that, I'm like, all right. So the Bible's telling me that if I have a question, a problem, a stronghold, a struggle, a sin, something that is in my life that should not be, the Bible's telling me that if I, with the intention of finding out, look into the Bible, it will free me up. All I've got to do is continue to do it, not forget what I heard. That's why I, like the Bible and the prophets, put pen to paper that I might reread it and say, aha, I remember that. And then I'm good in all I do. That's not so hard. Well, I tell you, that's a lot easier than fixing all your parents' mistakes and coming to terms with that and fixing all your husband and wife mistakes and, you know, coming to terms with that and, you know, working that out. You know, and your professor in high school or in college really told you to change your major and he shouldn't have, and then you ended up in a career and like, and really, you know, that it'd take 1,000 years to sort it out another way. At least 1,000, you imagine? All I gotta do is this? Where do I sign up? But as simple as that is, we're leaving. I will be praying that you will read the Bible with the intention of finding out what's going on with you first and with others second. And if you get your act straight, it's like, look, you know what? Say, I'm Jamie. It's like, yeah, I got it. God's with me. He's given me some victories here. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm gonna search the scriptures for Matt. I'm going to see how I can help him and help him have James 1:25. There's no reason why you can't share it with somebody. They don't see it. That's why we preach and teach. We are to admonish. We're to point things out. Therefore, we're a good minister of Christ Jesus. No problem. It's like, look, find out for you, and then, hey, you know, don't take a vacation. Go ahead and find out for someone else. Help them. I hope that's what's going on when we're gone and when we return. Look in Colossians chapter 2. As simple as that sounds, as really inviting as it sounds, it's very rarely done. And that's just the way it is. There is a second option. Option one, of course, we just read, finding out. Amen. Option two is not finding out. I keep things pretty simple. And you option two crowd are in the Bible too. Everybody's in the Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. This is option two. It is the most dreadful place on earth. My life in the world is far preferable to this. We're not turning to all these places, but in Proverbs 4:7, you can look it up. In accordance with James 1, it says, hey, though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Well, I'm not sure that'd be wise to put the house on the market. All right, then don't get understanding. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. You've got to know what's going on. Even if it costs you everything, you've got to know what's going on. You've got to know. Also in Proverbs 4, verse 19, we're not turning there either, but you can look at it on your own. It talks about the way of the wicked, the people who didn't get understanding and don't know what they're doing and just keep sinning. It's the way of the wicked is deep darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. La, 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 crash! Man, I didn't mean to, like, get into sexual impurity there. Right, I know. Well, what happened? I don't know. You know, would it be all right if I bring up Proverbs 4:19 and point out that you don't know what makes you stumble, which is the Bible's way of letting you know you're wicked? That you should know what makes you stumble. You should know. You can find out. And though it costs you all you have, get that understanding. La, la, la. Man, I got mad at her. Why? I'm not really sure. It's just, see, you really ticked me off. Why? It's just annoying. So what'd you do? I had a fit of rage on her. I feel bad about it, though. And you don't know what made you stumble. Because you're wicked, and you haven't sold it all for understanding, and that's your life. And this is your life too. Colossians 2, we'll look at it again, verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. There are people, and you can be one of them, who walks around talking kind of spiritual talk, yipping and yapping kind of spiritual talk, but you are a phony. You are a falsehood. You don't preach the Bible. You don't say it the way it is. Oh, it was a beautiful test. You know I love my brother Mario. But the thing that ticked him off, and this is cool, Pat, this is your glory. The thing that ticked him off and irked him so much was back in the day. He was telling Jonell some dumb stuff. He didn't have the Bible open, and he was telling Jonell some gibberish, probably about worship of angels and delighting in false humility, and he was just a phony. And El sat with him at that table and said, you know what, I don't believe a word you're saying because you don't even have your Bible open. Boy, that made him mad. Isn't that beautiful? I was able to proclaim to him that that's exactly what El should have told you. You phony. Look. People are going to jibber-jabber all spiritual. Jibber-jabber all you want, but do not let them disqualify you for the prize, and do not let them do anything with you, and you hold them to the scriptures, and you find out what's really going on. Hang in there with me. Middle of verse 18. Such a person, oh yes, such a person, goes into great detail. Oh, isn't that colorful? Isn't that flowery? Yeah, that's real impressive. Goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. You know, when you need a lot of details, the Bible must not be involved. Right? We've seen it time and again. Half a verse. Boom! Problem solved. Half a verse. When you need a lot of details, I'm sure you're not reading this. I'm confident you're not reading the Bible if we're into a lot of details. And then what? That's why I try to shortcut people. I'm like, brother, just tell me about the sin you're in. I don't need an 11-hour conversation recount that you had with the leasing agent who talked to her boss and then talked to your neighbor and then they talked to your mom and then your co-signer about what happened and how it didn't work out and then all of a sudden, you know, you were upset about it. I'm dying in the wasteland here. Just tell me about your sin, please. But people will love. They would rather go into great detail about what their unspiritual mind has seen than to get honest with the truth of the Bible. And what happens? They get puffed up. You know how you can tell someone who's puffed up? Easiest way. I love the Bible. It just makes it so simple. We got that balloon puffers probably over there, right? Nyla was running around with a balloon blower. Anyway, look, someone who's puffed up, the last thing they're going to do is hang out with anybody or anything sharp. Right? You come around all puffed up, you better keep your distance. Pop! But if you're built up, like the scriptures call you to be, if you are built up, bring the knives, the swords, the pins, the fire, the salt. Bring it on if you're made like a medicine ball. That's how you can tell. And the puffed up person doesn't want to hang around anyone sharp, anyone salty, anyone who's going to test it. And the puffed up person is filled with idle notions. Boy. See, I've been there. That's how I can call it. I mean, I'm not picking on anyone. I've been in all these places worse than anyone I know. Really. Worse than anyone I know. It's just the grace of God, for whatever reason, has spared me from much of what most people end up in. Amen. Not my own doing. I'm aware of that. But I've been in all these places. And when I've got idle notions, you know, idle notions? You know, let's think of some. An idle notion. Now you got to make sure it doesn't go anywhere. It can't be living and active. It's the definition of idle. It just sits there. And you don't want to be engaging with anybody. Like if I have an idle notion and I talk to Shaw or Mila at home, they might like light a fire to it or dig under it or uproot it or put a scripture on it, and then it might disappear. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, no. Idle notions, you don't want to really talk about those. You just want to conclude them and justify yourself with them. I've been there. I think the ministry is just whacked out. It is far beyond the scriptures, and it is not the Bible, and therefore, it's not even necessary. I pay it any attention. Visit it. Go. Period. Thank you. You want to talk about that, brother? No. Why? I don't want to talk about it, brother. Let me tell you why. For this is option 2, not 5. finding out. Because if I say, that's great, brother, show me that in the scriptures. One, you can't find it. Two, if you find it, you'll see that you are in error because you don't know the scriptures. Three, it's real hard to justify yourself when you're proven wrong. And I've been there. I've been the most puffed up, self-justifying, out of control, in sin disciple I've ever heard about or read about. And I didn't want to get honest about it because I might be proven wrong and then I couldn't justify myself. For instance, you know me, I used to think things like this. I'm going to read, pray, love God, make disciples, and hate Scott. There you go. And God's like, no, you're not. And down I'd go, and I felt like David, man, even when I've got it resolved, when I know what I'm doing, I've got a plan, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and 4 out of 5 of it is good, and for Trident that works. All of a sudden, God is all over me. Down I go, crash, crash, crash. Then God fans me back to flame, fans me back to flame, fans me back to flame. Scott offends me. Aha! He's no disciple. I'm going to read, pray, love God, make disciples, and hate Scott. And God again says, no, you're not. I know what it's like, and I don't want to talk to Scott about it, because if I talk to Scott about it, the scriptures might convict me and prove me wrong, and it's real hard to walk around self-justified if I know I'm wrong. That's why I don't want to talk to anybody about it. It's an idle notion. I keep it over here where Pat doesn't come. Because Pat might poke around. Right, Foster? Pat will poke around. Amen for Pat. Fruitless, pointless. The best example in the Bible is this. And oh, we've seen this in the ministry. The best example in the Bible, as it occurs to me, Herod and Pilate were enemies, the Bible says. Okay? King Herod, Governor Pilate. Enemies. Jesus comes along, and Pilate and Herod become friends. Pilate, Herod, and united in their hatred for the truth, they become friends. Jesus gets crucified. The disciples do Acts 2. The church is being built. And you never hear any more about their friendship. Why? Because we already know about it spiritually and by faith. Once the Jesus thing was over, it just dissolved. It was idle. See? You know all the people who've fallen away? Who helped each other fall away? How good is their friendship now? They don't even speak. Maybe once every 6 months, one will call the other just to make sure you're not doing the Bible. Verify that and go on with life. That's terrible. Idle notions is a bad place to be. I've completely lost my spot, but hey, there we are. Verse 19. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. If you don't want to find out, you don't have to. I'm not going to make you do anything. Hey, this is for you. If you don't want it, amen. Most people don't. I'm not going to make you do it, and God's not going to make you do it. If you don't want to find out what's really going on with you from the scriptures, then you get to not find out. And you get to puff your head full of idle notions that do nothing. You get to lose connection with the head, which is Christ. You get to lose connection with the body, which is the disciples of Jesus. You get to lose connection with God, who is the head of Christ. And you get to never grow. Wow, that's how I feel. Hey, you're in the Bible, whether you want to be or not. I hope See, you're going to go one of two places. You can either find out the deal about you. Find out the deal about you. Be set free by it. And grow. Or not find out the deal about you. Fill your head with a bunch of silliness that you don't want to get honest about because you know it's silly and we can't have a pinprick or a sword anywhere about. Lose connection with everything and hang out. And this is why. God, as is always the case, can work either way. He's easy. 1 Corinthians 11. God really is like, hey, all right, what do we got here? All right, I got a plan for that. Hey, we got someone intently looking at the Bible, trying to find out the deal? Cool. I'll reveal my word to them. I'll show them depth of insight they've never seen before. I'll show them where to go. I'll send somebody to them if they can't find it. That person will proclaim it. They'll be up for it. Hey, we got someone who doesn't want to find out. Ah, they're about as healthy as a balloon. They've lost connection with Christ, the Bible, the brothers and sisters, God, haven't grown at all. They hang around, puffed up, with a bunch of dumb ideas. Hey, man, whatever we're dealing with. In 1 Corinthians 11, this is how God is working, okay? Just hang in there with me. Verse 31. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that he will not be condemned, or so that we will not be condemned with the world. Okay? If we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Look, what I talked about at the beginning, pressure! I just don't think I can do it. I can't go to the ministry. I just can't hear it anymore. They're going to sing those songs. And someone's going to preach. The Bible's going to be open. Oh, the giggles. Someone's going to giggle. That really ticks me off. All right. I was able to help Mario understand what I understand. As someone who's been under great pressure far beyond my ability to endure. It's not pressure hanging out with me. The real problem hanging out with me is I've eaten all the scriptures that say, God, judge between me and them. You know, look, that scripture's coming down immediately. You want to get feisty with me? That's fine. God's going to render a judgment immediately. Because I pray for it, and this is not going to be a ministry based on my debating skills. God's going to render judgment immediately with anyone feisty with me. You've seen it where he's ruled against me and I surrendered the ministry. You've seen it where somebody else has been judged against and they've disappeared because they didn't handle it righteously. Only because they didn't find out what was going on. I'm trying to get ahead of the game here as we read this. Look, verse 31. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Woo! There would be no pressure. The pressure you feel is really judgment. The defeat you feel is really judgment. It's God taking you and handing you over to defeat for reasons he wrote about if you would but read them. He took you and handed you over to discouragement. He took your sins, bound them into a yoke, and stuck them on your neck to sap your strength. He took you and walled you in so you can't escape. Look, it's God judging you. That's the pressure you feel. But if you would just say, you know, I want to know God. I want to know what's going on. I want you to show me, and I will surrender to the scriptures. Send me a brother. Brothers, I'm open. Talk to me. Help me. This is where I'm at. Lay some scripture on me. I'm in. Then you would never get that pressure, that judgment, that defeat from God that he has to give you because you will not look at the scriptures and judge your own life accordingly. Do you see that? The reason you get shackled and trashed and beaten up and dealt with is because you refuse to look intently into the Bible, find out the deal, and judge yourself accordingly. And God's, all right, hey, they're not going to do that. Brother so-and-so, go tell them. Brother so-and-so tells them, I don't want to hear it anymore, they say. Okay, that didn't work. What are God's choices? What are God's choices? You're not going to find out from the Bible, and you're not going to listen to someone tell you. What can God do? Oh, he can work with any situation. This is no big deal for God. Verse 32. Oh, whoops, we didn't judge ourselves, so we did come under judgment. Verse 32, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. I see really only three options, three steps. Read the Bible, find out the deal, and surrender. Don't read the Bible, don't find out the deal, don't surrender, and have God judge you and discipline you to try to wake you and shake you and quake you. Option three, if that doesn't work, I guess, is to be condemned with the world and go to hell with the world. Isn't that why Jesus said, look, if your brother sins against you, call another brother or two along. Well, first go to that brother, point it out. If your brother sees it, repents, you've won your brother over. If he doesn't take another brother or two along, confront him with the deal. If he doesn't listen to you guys, take it before the entire church. And if he doesn't listen to the church, treat him like a pagan or a tax collector. That's how God works. That's why he says what he says. And if we cannot judge ourselves with the Bible that is easy to read, easy to understand, or have somebody come show us something maybe we don't understand, if we can't do that, God has no choice but to get involved. And when God gets involved, he's got these really heavy hands. You know, Pat's a big guy, but he'll bear hug you and stuff, but he's not like, I'm not like going to China when he like puts his hand on my shoulder. But God's got these very heavy hands he comes up and puts around you. And what do those prophets say? The heavy hand of the Lord was upon me. Down I'm going. Yeah, it'd be a lot easier just to listen to Pat. But I'm too prideful to listen to Pat. So you get to listen to God, and he gets to put his heavy hand on you, and down you go. But he's trying to actually discipline you, teach you something so you don't go to hell. Because that's where we're headed after that. If you feel pressure here, that's what it is. It's God's judgment. If you feel pressure getting with me, it's God's judgment. You don't have to do anything to impress me. And if you're going to try to people please me, I'm sure God will judge that. I'm sure it's a mess. If you feel pressure getting with the sisters, the brothers, your husband or wife, pressured, bothered, it's heavy, it's God's judgment. That's what it is. I'm just trying to help you see what it is, because I know us. We go, I'm not even going to talk to honey about that. I just hate that feeling. That feeling, I hate it so much. It's just like I'm going to burst. And it's like, hey, brother, that's God's judgment. Shall we find out from the scriptures the trouble you're in to fix that, or do we just want to ignore honey? Yeah, maybe I would be up for finding out. Hang in there, women. We've got some dopey husbands. You know, me chief among them, so I recognize it. I can recognize a dopey husband because I'm the dopiest. I'm like, hey, we'll put you all together, you have me. Anyway, God's judgment is what is laying it on you. If you can take a time out and find out, it'll set you free. It really will. Free. Shall I have like 0.0 reasons to be set free? It's the Bible. Oh, I can't imagine keeping these plates in the air otherwise. My appeal to you is that you get this while we're gone. And that we are a ministry of people who read the Bible. We are people who read the Bible intently. And then we read the Bible intently for others. And we set each other free. You got to do it. I know, hey, that's all I have left to do. That's all the only reason I'm still breathing. Jeremiah 46. I'm going to give you an example. It is, please find out. It is so cool to have tried the kingdom, and then even subsequently, and most of us are there, I guess Emil and Mila and Jamie, I guess some people, Foster. All right, some people have good hearts and they haven't tried it all. Well, many of us have tried the world, Pat. Many of us have tried the world after the kingdom. A little dabble here, you know. I'm not really going to try the world. I'm just going to put my foot in it. Man, I missed that. Maybe I'll put this foot in there. Anyway. But to me, that would be the ultimate pressure. It's like, I gave the kingdom all I had and flamed out cataclysmically. Kaboom! Then, armed with all I learned there, I went and gave the world a whirl. And God followed me everywhere I went. It wasn't even fun. Now what? I've tried the full range, and in between isn't even exciting. You're going to have to try the Bible and let God teach you and change you, and then it'll work. That's why the kingdom didn't work, is because you wouldn't let God change you to be what it takes to do the kingdom. So the only option remaining, I'm going to do the Bible, I'm going to find out what the Lord's will is, and I'm going to surrender to it. And then you walk trembling with fear because you know, I can't do this, but I'm trying. Amen. That's a great place to be. God loves that kind of person. That happened to me. And it's cool to talk about days of struggle. And I remember my greatest days of struggle when I couldn't get out of sin. I couldn't stay righteous. I would learn things. God was showing me things. God would show me things that nobody understood, that nobody saw, that nobody preached. I'd be like, whoa, that is incredible. Unbelievable. People who have been disciples for 20 years had no clue. I mean, it was deep. It was intense. It was awesome. And then, you know, I'd be lusting. And I'm like, I hate it so much. Then I'd see people around me, people I made disciples, people I was in fellowship with, fall away, kaboom. And they would go into sin that was like cataclysmic. I'm like, man. And they are done. Falling away, game over, no pulse spiritually, all around me. And then people who were like, other people just got corporate. It's like, corporate? That's worse than sexual immorality. You're a disciple of Jesus, you become corporate. So I see all this war going on. I'm in the middle of it taking my hits, but somehow still alive. And I remember, and I'm like, God, what's going on? Tell me what's going on, and I'm in. This is just one little example. You know from what I've preached. Look, I have intently sought out the deal from God. God has given it to me. I've shared it with you largely. Jeremiah 46, verse 28. We'll see you again, Ireland. Okay, I'm going to give you something. There you go. Listen to that. Email us.
God bless you.
Let us know what's happening, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Jeremiah 46. Did you say six babies?
Yes.
You better get home. Jeremiah 46, verse 28. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Do not fear, Trent, my servant. Do not fear, Richard, my servant. Do not fear, Matt, my servant. For I am with you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. And from that, God was saying, no, no, Trent. No, no. Don't be afraid, Trent. I'm with you. I won't destroy you completely. You know, I was in such bad shape that was the greatest encouragement I ever heard in my life. because it appeared to me that God was destroying me completely, limb to limb, to throttle me in the dust and to blow it all up. It looked to me like it was going to be a complete destruction. Because God is like, whack, whack, chop, snip, snip, chop, whack. And I'm like, God, you're killing me here. You're killing me here. And I'm in the light all the time. I'm reaching out to people all the time. I'm learning. I'm reading intently, trying to figure out. I would rise to spiritual heights and whack, 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 whack. Man, I'm down to a stump. And God's like, I will not destroy you completely. Well, I guess that's good news. And with that, I was like, okay, all right. By the grace of God, I believed him. I was like, all right, I believe you, God. And you can hack away. Because I know that you're going to get us down to what you can work with. I'm in. It took 5.5 years. It doesn't have to take that for you because you haven't been handed the traditions and the empty way of life handed down to me by my spiritual forefathers. You don't have to put up with that garbage. But it took 5.5 years for God to get us down to where I was destroyed, but not completely to the extent that he was going to get it done. That's a long time in the kingdom. Way too long. But I hope that you can say, all right, I hope you can believe that God is going to destroy you, but not completely, for those of you who are really having a hard time, for those of you who are really struggling, troubled, bothered, wanting to quit, can't get away from God. I hope you can just resign yourself to the fact that God loves you, is wanting you to serve, that he is with you. You're a disciple of Jesus. He is with you, whether you believe it or not. But the point is, I want you to be able to believe it, and that God is destroying you. Yes, it is what it feels like. Wow, it just feels like God is killing me. Well, he is destroying you. It feels like he's just hammering on me. Oh, he is. It feels like, man, he's just limb to limb dealing with me. Yeah, he is. It feels like there's no let up. There isn't. But he won't do it completely. There'll be something left that he can then work with. And he's trying to get you to that point. I hope that's an encouragement. It was to me in the depths. And if it's not, you must not be desperate enough. Don't worry, God will usher you to a greater desperation that you may see that and go, hallelujah, amen. I was to the point where I was pretty sure that God was going to throttle me to extinction. And nobody could show me anything to read and believe any different. And I saw people falling away right and left and center, and other people becoming corporate. And I saw everybody just losing their relationship with God. And I was seeing things that were encouraging, but then sinning and just lust. And I was like, God, I can't even go out of my house. And God's like, no. I'll destroy you, but not completely. And if you're desperate, that'll encourage you. And if you're not desperate enough, amen, you'll get there, you idle notion, puffed up, great detail, godless person who won't find out anything. Fine, you'll get to that desperation where you'll cling to Jeremiah 46:28 and say, aha, it won't be complete destruction. Alternatively, you could just do James 1:25 and find out what the deal is. Okay, my appeal to you, read your Bible. Please, you've got to read your Bible to know what's going on. It's in there. It will free you up. Or God will do what God does to get you to a point where lack of complete destruction will be an encouragement to you. I know there's that middle point where you'd just rather die and go to hell. You'd rather just stop breathing. Amen. You're going to cross the middle point of that terrible attitude and get even more desperate to where you'll appreciate God not destroying you completely. Hell's like, man, those are bad days, aren't they, hell? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day together. We thank you for your word and the shade. We thank you for the kids, Father. We do want to pray, Father, for Michael as he is in North Carolina for the death of his mother. Father, I pray that we will encourage him with whatever encouragement he will need. We pray you will discern that for us and let us know. We pray, Father, also for Mario and his efforts to return to the truth. That is a long, long, long uphill battle. Father, I pray the ministry will just be gentle, affectionate, loving, and forgiving. It'll take all four of those things even to provide a chance for our brother Mario to return to the truth, at least here. Father, I pray for everybody here who is remaining. I pray we are a people who read the Bible and take you up on your word, that you'll let us know what the deal is. I pray that so much. I pray that we will appeal to each other to do that. I thank you for this time together. I look forward to the fellowship ahead. And I thank you for the encouragement we've seen in the brothers changing, in the brothers being open to a correction, being open to finding out what's going on. I thank you so much for the women and the wives, Father, who have persevered through what is oftentimes a great craziness. But to your glory, Father, they will entrust themselves to you who judges justly. For that they'll be rewarded, and your glory will be revealed in them, that others may believe, and we may be able to encourage others to just hang in and persevere as well. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.